We substituted one evening to go pick up some children for Sam and Miriam. We got to one of the houses, and a couple of kids came out. Vonda had gone up to knock on the door. The steps were broken. Vonda had to be cautious how she went up. The kids came out. They knew the step was missing, and whoop, they were down real quick. Vonda, when the door opened up, there was such a strong smell of weed, drugs coming out of the house. And as we drove away, one of the kids says, "You know, I forgot my Bible. Can we go back?" I have to rejoice for the fact there's two Bibles in that home. If we pray that God will work through those kids, what can come out of that home? But it's going to take us to continue to pray. We have the answer right here. So just a little bit of encouragement for us to pray. It is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out here. I'd like to begin this morning by asking, getting some involvement here. As fathers, Danny, is there somebody back there could bring me a cup of water, please? As fathers, what are some of your responsibilities? To be a leader. Okay, what else?
Provide.
To provide. Okay, to model God to our family. To protect. To show love. To bring our kids up in God's Word. Ouch. Can we leave that one? Admit when we're wrong. You know, that's been one of the hardest things for me, but one of the greatest blessings. Anything else you can think of? Adrian says hunting. We're going to spell that out as time. You guys know how important it is to give time to your children? I think back to my childhood. I was just reminiscing this morning for a bit about my dad. And I can remember sitting on the church bench next to my dad. We went to a church where you didn't hardly move, you didn't budge, you stayed put. But I remember Dad putting his hand over on my lap, and I would take his hand. It was rough, it was calloused. Dad was a working man. And I would take his hand and just feel across his fingers, "Thank you so much." Feel across his fingers. Some reason that sticks out to me. But I also remember the time that I was able to sit up in front of my dad a little bit and I didn't have to sit next to him. A note being sent up to me. Somebody got a little wiggly and some laughing was going on and disrespect, and Dad wasn't going to put up with it. So many things that we are as dads. This morning, the message I have to share, I want it to be an encouragement to you. It can come out as a very negative picture, and I don't want that to be this morning. I want it to be a positive view. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4. I was debating where I should go. It's so hard sometimes. Father's Day comes once a year, Mother's Day comes once a year, Christmas, we've got all those things. How do you always come up with a new message that's going to fit, that doesn't repeat itself? So I talked to one of my brothers who's a pastor, and I asked him, "Where would you go?" And he told me where he went. So I went back, he went to David. I went back and I decided, well, I'm going to begin in Samuel, I'm going to work my way up through, and kind of get some background to see where we're at. I got stuck in Samuel. So it's not going to be about David this morning. It's going to be about Samuel. Samuel was a young man that was committed to God by his mother Hannah. His mother was barren. She prayed, says, God, give me a man child. If you do, I will give him back to you for life. How many of us would be willing to pray to God and say, give me a child. You give me this child, I will hand him right back to you. A beautiful picture. This is what Hannah did. And as Samuel grew, if we go back to chapter 3 in 1 Samuel, verse 19, it says, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and the Lord And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So here we have Samuel now. He is now a prophet. The people are beginning to take notice. What he says is from God. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle. Here we have Israel. They're going to go to battle. We have the Philistines also there wanting to battle. Israel is setting up camp by Ebenezer. The Philistines are setting up camp by Aphek. And by the way, my title this morning is Ebenezer. Who can tell me what the word Ebenezer means? God is my help. Hitherto hath God helped us. And one of the reasons I know that is because growing up, the name of our church was Ebenezer. We were an outreach church. As we got together, and as the men tried to decide, what shall we call our church? They began to realize that God has brought us this far. Ebenezer. So that's what we're looking at this morning. So now we have these two camps set up. We've got the Philistines and the Israelites that are against each other. And we would guess that Israel is going to win, right? They go out and they fight. The Philistines have a whole lot more technology than what the Israelites have. They're quite a bit ahead of them. And it ends up in verse 2. It says, Israel was smitten by the Philistines. Israel lost. They lost 4,000 men that day. We come to verse 3. And Israel's beginning to wonder, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? God, why did you allow this to happen? So instead of going back and seeking God, they decide they're going to do something on their own. We're going to go back to Shiloh. We're going to get the ark. We're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant over. And we're going to take that with us into battle. Sounds a little bit like a rabbit's foot, doesn't it? How many of you know what a rabbit's foot is for? A good luck charm. So we think it almost looks here like maybe they're doing this as a good luck charm. Let's get this ark. Let's take it with us. But there's a problem. Something came with the ark. Eli's two sons, and they were not good men. They were very dishonorable. Hophni and Phinehas. They came with the ark. And when the ark showed up in the Israelite campsite, it was so loud that the Philistines wondered, what in the world is going on? The Philistines became afraid. But they had also a strategy. Down in verse 9, they said, be strong and quit you or conduct yourselves as men. Quit being sissies. Let's go out and fight. That was their model. That's what we're going to do. So that's what they did. Again, they set up in verse 10. They had another war. They fought again. They lost again. They lost 30,000 footmen that time. The Israelites did. Plus the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God was taken. They took it with them. The Israelites lost it. The Philistines now have it. So they come back and they tell Eli about this. Eli was an old man. He was 98 years old. He was an old man. He was heavy, it says. And when he found out what happened, fell over backwards, broke his neck, and he died. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was ready to give birth. She found out what happened, found out the ark had been taken, her husband was killed. She gave birth, named the child. She died. The Philistines took the ark. We're going to skip over to chapter 6. We look through chapter 5, there's a whole bunch of areas there where it talks about what happened as the ark went through the different towns, the Philistine towns. God smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. We're talking something similar to tumors that they had in their secret parts, and it seemed everywhere it went, if they didn't die, this happened. Until finally, let's actually go all the way over to chapter 7. The ark had gone to different places, stayed at different places. And finally they called on the men of Kirjath-Jearim. And they told them, would you please come get the ark? Take it back home. They came, they got the ark, they took it to the house of Minadab. They anointed Eleazar to take care of the ark. He was the overseer for the ark. All through this time, Samuel is quiet. We don't see anything of Samuel. Because the men, the people, were doing things that satisfied themselves. There was silence there. But we see in verse 2, and it came to pass of chapter 7, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. Let's look at the next phrase. It says, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The idea here is they were wondering, has God left us? They were mourning. Has God left us? Then Samuel steps back into the picture. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. This is where I want you to know this morning that I'm coming to you in an encouraging way, not in a way that I'm demeaning you, not in a way that I'm looking down on you, because I'm right here with you. But there was something missing. And I want to ask you as men this morning, fathers, is there something missing? Is there something that's keeping you from being totally sold out to God? Because if you're not totally sold out to God and serving Him, there's going to be some things in your fathering that are going to be weak. I'm going to share something with you that happened to me this week. About a year ago, I had something happen in my life. I took it personally. I never should have, but I took it personally. And I kept harboring this thing in my heart until it turned to bitterness. This week I came back to the Lord and I told the Lord, you know, I don't care what they think. I'm tired of the bitterness. I'm tired of the anger that's within me. I'm tired of what's happening. Something needs to happen because there's something missing. So I send out some texts. And all I did was ask him, tell him I'm sorry. And I named names. And I told him what I did was wrong. The response was, we love you. We forgive you. We love you. All this year, I had that within me. I struggled with it. Dads, listen to me this morning. If there's something that's within you that's causing turmoil, that's keeping you from having that open relationship with the Father, that's keeping you from working with your kids in a positive manner, let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. I told my wife I didn't know how heavy that was until I let it go. Samuel here told them, if you come to God, return to Him with all your hearts. That means everything within you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. Nothing else. Serve Him only. He said He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And guess what they did in verse 4? It says, and the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. Then Samuel said, now I want to pray for you. He gathered them together. It says, come over here. I'm going to pray for you. And I would have loved to be there. But something began to happen in verse 6. It says they gathered together in Mizpah. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned. We've sinned against the Lord. Now I want you to get a picture of this. Here they were getting together to confess. They were getting together to ask God to again come back and to lead them. So they went to the well and they took some water out of the well. And it says they dumped out the water. What are they trying to say? They're giving us a picture of when we come to the Lord and we're totally sold out. We're going to give Him everything. We dump everything out. It's like a liquid offering. Anything that's within me, I want it out. Because I want God within me. I want Him to come back and fill me with what He's got. Because what I got ain't no good. They were willing to empty themselves before the Lord. And they fasted. Now it's time to go back out to battle. Verse 7 of chapter 7. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Israel was still fearing. It's okay. They had reason to fear, didn't they? But now that they came back and they're walking with God, this is what they told Samuel. Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. You talk about faith. These men were willing to step out. As long as you keep praying, we're going to go. And as he prayed, he got a small lamb, a suckling lamb, and he offered that as a sacrifice. And in the process of the sacrifice, look what happened in verse 10. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, in the process, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Now I want us to pay close attention to what happened here. The Philistines or the Israelites did not fight the battle on their own. Isn't that something we do so many times? There's something that comes in and we try to figure out a way how to fight it. This is what happened for them. They drew near to battle, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. He messed them up, didn't he? God stepped in and he sent something that messed them up. The Philistines up that they couldn't fight. And the Israelites went in and won. Does it mean every time that I give myself to God, He's going to win every battle for me? Sometimes He lets us struggle like Job was saying. Sometimes the water pump goes out. Sometimes there's something that comes into our lives that's there to strengthen us. We had two issues in our family this week, and I'm not going to talk about that, but two issues where we prayed and asked God, we need to grow in this area. God honored that. But it wasn't easy. He wants us to grow. So it's not all good, good, good. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we suffer. They won the battle. The men, verse 11, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. So it was not a matter of just doing a little bit of slaying. They followed them out. Wanted to make sure the job got done because God was with them. And then we come to verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. This is where I want us to go as men this morning. God is looking for you to be victorious in your life because He's victorious. And if you're His child, He's going to give you the strength to be victorious. He will not leave you. Here they set up this stone, this Ebenezer stone. And in this stone, basically they were saying, God hath helped us up to here. He will continue to help. Men, this morning, and I'm talking not just to fathers, I'm talking to all men, because we all have opportunity possibly to be fathers sometime. The struggles that you face in life, sometimes we need a remembrance. If you've never done this, I encourage you to do this. Set up an Ebenezer stone. It may not be a real literal stone. I have a place I go to that's my Ebenezer stone. Set up a place, maybe it's a date, where you gain victory over this specific thing. Maybe it's a date you gave your heart to the Lord. Set up some kind of an Ebenezer stone. And let me tell you what this does. When you face a specific struggle that you faced before, or maybe it's something new, you come back to that spot, to that stone, and you look at it, and you know that this is where God took care of that issue. He's going to take care of this issue. And there's something else He does with that. Satan knows that. And Satan knows that's where you gain victory. I can't touch you. And don't be scared to tell him. We have power through His blood. There's something else that happened here. Go down to verse 14. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Some of us dads here this morning are probably thinking, you know, I've got children that have left that are no longer part of the fold. Some of us have children that we're not sure where they're headed. As long as there's breath, we're not done. According to this verse, He not only wants us to serve Him faithfully, but He wants to come back and He wants to restore what's been destroyed. But it's going to take us coming back to Him and allowing Him to do whatever it takes in our lives. He wants to restore what's been destroyed. Faith. We continue to pray. We continue to seek. I'm reminded of the man who prayed for three other men for 30 years. And he would not give up. Until they came to the Lord. I would love to talk about fasting for a while this morning. I don't do enough of it. But I know there are some who fast for long periods of time. Specific about something. Maybe that's a message we'll have here soon. But when we get serious and we seek the Lord in fasting, there are things that happen. There are things that take place. It's not a rabbit's foot, but it's real. Ladies, I want to give you something this morning. It's Father's Day. Sorry, ladies, I'm going to talk to you for a bit here. Your men are leaders. And I'm talking about husbands and wives. Your men are leaders in the home. They need your support. Your men are not there to walk ahead of you. They're there to walk beside you. They lead in that way. It's been said that a wife can make or break her husband. Not sure how true that is, but I think there's some truth there. Wives, take your place in the home. Walk up next to your husband. Walk with him. Don't belittle him. Support him. Encourage him. If there is something, share with him gently. I know from experience what that does in my life as a leader in the home. When my wife comes next to me and she walks with me. She's not out front trying to lead, but she's there beside me. That's a blessing. That's huge. I look at some of the older couples. Years ago, I remember, I was at a wedding, and there's an older man that shared at the wedding. And he made comment about another older couple in the church. And he said, I'm just blessed this morning because I saw them walking in here this morning holding hands. We're never too old to hold hands. I don't know where this is going. I need to stop before I go a whole lot further. We're never too old to hold hands. Love each other. Just an encouragement to you as fathers, as men. Walk faithfully with God. And if there's something, bring it to God. Let Him clear it up. Put out an Ebenezer stone for a remembrance. And allow Him to rebuild that. Allow Him to come back and to replace what's been removed, to restore. There's some cards out back. on the podium right outside the doors. And I'd like to read this verse that somebody has put together for us this morning. Each one of the men is to pick up a card and take it home. Have it somewhere where you can see it. Remember the Lord and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. There is so much in that verse. Pick up that card out there and take it with you. In closing, I'd like for all of us to stand. As a closing prayer and as a blessing on you as a congregation, maybe specifically this morning to the men, I would like to pray over you, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. If you would bow your heads, I will pray this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Would you have a closing song?